Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you for your unction and anointing. As we go into the word this morning, I humble myself afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart, my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And secondly, I ask you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back and follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of these things they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring in out the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, Amen. We're going to continue our study this morning in the book of Proverbs. And today we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 8. In these last few weeks, we've been in Proverbs chapters 5, 6, and 7, where basically there's been an emphasis on taking diligent heed to God's word. Some of the things we learned is bind them continually upon your heart. It says, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them, that is the revelation of them, you know, and medicine, health to all their flesh. And if you do these things, it will keep you from sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, and all kinds of sexual perversions and sins that have a very terrible effect on the physical body as well as on your life. You know, it says in one place, his reproach will not be wiped away. You know, I've said this and it just bears repetition. You know, coming up as a Christian in my early Christian life, my understanding initially was not correct. It was not complete. It wasn't wrong. It was, if you do anything, God will just forgive you. And Jesus just cleanse it. And in fact, you know, you keep your hands, it's as if it never happened. Well, that's true as far as on God's side of the equation. And really what that means is that God will not hold it against you and it will not send you to hell. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses your sins. It doesn't forgive. It doesn't just cover them. It cleanses them so there is no record that can send you to hell. But it is not true on the human side of the equation that, you know, if you just sin and you just confess it, that's the end of it. No. Yes, as far as God is concerned, you know, but there is an effect and a chastening. That's what the Bible says, it is by the fear of God men depart from evil. And you see, that kind of thinking made some of us, you know, unconsciously, I didn't do it consciously, think that, well, it doesn't really matter what you do, you know, God will forgive you and you get away with it. But it was not a complete understanding. Yes, God will forgive you as far as. And that's why God gave us the story of David. God forgave him. Nathan told him up front. He said, God has forgiven you. He said, you will not die. He said, but. And that's every born again New Testament Christian needs to understand this. There is a chastening Otherwise, God would not be a good father. And the purpose of the chastening is, it says that we might be partakers of his holiness. He says, as many as God loves, he chastens, you know, so that there's a deterrent. There's a, you know, when you know that, yes, God will forgive you as far as going to heaven is concerned and all of that. But there's going to be a effect in your life here on the earth. Then it makes you avoid those sins. And that's why the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If there was, and we were taught not completely, if we, there was no consequence for sin, then you know what people go do? Say, let us sin that grace may abound. If I sin, God will forgive me, then I can just, you know, I can sin and sin and sin and sin and sin, you know, and then, you know, and then at the end of the day, God forgives me and that's it. You know, even the Paul in the New Testament, he says, shall we continue in sin? As grace may abide, says God forbid. He goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, he says, if you live in sin, he says, if you live out of flesh, you would die. Born again, spirit filled Christians. I know people say, oh, it's not my portion, I will not die in Jesus' name. All that won't get it, that won't cut it. If God, you don't use the tools you were given, he says, if ye live after the flesh, he says, you will die. But that's the alternative, and it's a far better alternative. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. Those things were not emphasized. Let me not say they were not mentioned. They certainly probably were mentioned in passing. But they were not. You see, there's a difference between mentioning something in passing and then emphasize it, like that's what we've done in these last few weeks. Proverbs 5, 6, 7, we've emphasized. You know, so what do? You do what the scripture says. The commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. It says it will keep you. It will keep you from all these, not just sexual sin, but all kinds of sins. And there are consequences. There are effects, you know, because there's an effect, you know. Even though you're forgiven as far as going to heaven is concerned, but it affects your life, it affects your body. So what do? Do what the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil, rather than say, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. If I do anything, God will forgive me. It's a horrible, don't let me use the word horrible, it's a very dangerous mentality to have, because you know what, it will kill you ultimately if you keep doing it, you know. And that's what really has and is still causing many times a premature death of many Christians. Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the context of communion, but it has general application. He says, if you take the body of the blood and the wine, the bread and the wine, he says, if you take it unworthily, as if you take it without understanding and discern the Lord's body, he says, you drink condemnation, damnation. You're born again. You know, to yourself. It says, for this cause, many are weak. These shows levels of chastening. Many are sickly and many die. They go to heaven. You know, but who wants that? You don't want to die prematurely. So you don't want to mess with sin. You don't want to mess with it because it causes those things. Weakness. Sometimes debilitating sicknesses, and then sometimes, God forbid, in extreme situations, it can even lead to physical death. And that's why God used three chapters to emphasize. And I'm grateful to God for his mercy and grace upon me, enabling me to do it. I, yet not I, but the grace of Jesus, you know. So I think, you know, now I think the message is clear and should be in every heart. So when those thoughts occur to you, you just remember immediately. No go area. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. And then you walk away. You don't go near the door of a house. You don't allow yourself to get into any compromising situation. Okay. So today we begin to look at another aspect of the wisdom of God. And in this chapter 8, we're going to be seeing, you know, how the wisdom of God really gives you creative wealth. You know, that's really the main essence of this, and causes you to prosper, not just materially, you know, in life generally. You know, and he begins with a cry, a call for wisdom. Verse 1, he says, "Doth not wisdom cry?" I didn't hear you, folks. "And understanding put forth her voice." These are rhetorical questions. You know, he now makes wisdom, personalizes it, you know, but he uses a woman, you know, uses the feminine gender, but really that doesn't really matter. You know, he says, "She standeth upon in the top," standeth in the top of high place. Let me hear you. I want to hear the choir. I want to hear all of you. You know, don't just let me hear the pastors alone. Say, "She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the place of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men." This is not just for Christians, it's for humanity. All humans. "I call." He makes it personal. He's now giving wisdom a personality. And we're going to see that as we go on. "My voice is to the sons of men." Again, humanity, generally speaking. "O ye simple." We see this again. We saw it in Proverbs chapters 4, 5, 6, and the earlier some things. You know, it is not the will of God that we be simple. Sadly, like I said last week, many Christians seem to think that being simple, as far as things of God are concerned and things of the Spirit are concerned, is what you should do. Like somebody told me years ago, you know, he said all this propriety, he said it's very complicated. He didn't say it like that. I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, "What's the essence of the gospel? Get them born again, get them blessed, and then they go to heaven." That's extremely simple, but it will get you killed. Yeah, you know, and that's what he's preaching against here. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an ununderstanding heart." Remember, the Lord Jesus himself said this, teaching about prophetically about the end time. He said, at the end time of the end, he said, the kingdom of God, or you can say the church, will be likened unto 10 virgins. Observe, all of them are virgins. Virgins is symbolic of purity. So all of them are good hearts. They're born again. He said, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You can be born again and a child of God and be foolish. Mercy, Lord. You can. And I'm going to take that a step further. Most are. It's not, he said 5-5, just talking about two types, not talking about percentage. So, Pastor Olubi, how do you know? I can give it to you from three places. First of all, two places, you know, the tabernacle of Moses. If you look at tabernacle of Moses, is a type, you know, it gives you like a plan of God's purposes. You got the outer court, so you have a lot of outer court Christians. Then you've got the holy place. You find that the volume gets smaller. Then you get the most holy place, the volume gets even smaller. And if you look at the ratios, you know, of those things, then if you use Zechariah, it says 2/3 and then 1/3. 2/3 of the church live in the outer court. And they're foolish spiritually. Hence, it's one of the reasons why God said, go and teach Proverbs. "O ye simple, understand wisdom, So a person who is simple doesn't understand wisdom. Ye fools. That word fool there is not an insult. It's a rebuke. Because they're his children. So he loves them. But he doesn't want you to stay foolish spiritually now. Be of understanding heart. So the fools, they don't have understanding. Here, verse 6. For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Verse 7. Let me stop there for you know, I got my notes here, and these days, as God, as I prepare my messages, God will give me small notes, not long, but you know. So these verses 1 to 6 is the call of wisdom. Then he uses certain metaphors, you know, symbolisms here. He uses the top of the high places. He uses, by the way, in the places of the earth. She cries at the gates. He uses at the entry of the city. He uses at the coming in at the doors. What does all that mean today? I'll tell you. You know, today, God, this scripture is being fulfilled. In those days, in the olden days when the Bible was written, you know, the gate was where the elders would sit. And when you wanted to enter into the city, you would have to come through the gate. So he was saying that wisdom is in the place of highest authority, top of the high places, because the elders would sit at the gate. And back in the olden days, even in our own Yoruba culture here, you know, you want to get wisdom, you go and sit where the elders are sitting. Then you'll be hearing what they are saying. You'll be hearing what they're saying. That's how you learn a lot of proverbs and things like that. You may not be involved in the matter, but just sit and then you'll be hearing. So here, today, in this 21st century, you know, I got it all written here, you know, things like the internet. That's the high places. Where does the internet come from? It comes from satellite. Every day, as Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God, is talking this morning, my voice through this technology is being beamed from the satellite via the internet to all the earth. The top of the high places. You know, that's how you again know that this Bible is written by God. You know, at the time Solomon wrote this, he didn't know, he had no idea about, you know. But, you know, look at, you know, in the ways of the place, in the great entry of the city, the word of God is everywhere now. If you put on your computer, it's available. Now, a lot of people don't tune to that channel, but that's why he's calling them. I call unto you, the sons of men. I'm talking from the top of the high places. I'm talking in at the entry of the city. I'm talking at the gates. Television, internet, books. You know, you see, people who are living in this generation are not going to have any excuse. You cannot say, oh, they didn't tell me. Oh, I didn't hear. You know what the answer is going to be on Judgment Day? It's going to say, because you didn't want to. You know why? It's available. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Radio, television. I think it was Kelly Verner of blessed memory who made this statement. He said, in every move of God, God has a vehicle of transmission of information. In the Reformation, you need to understand this historically. You know, the Reformation started in 1517 through Martin Luther. To understand and appreciate what I'm about to say, you need to understand that the first 1,000 years of the church, The Bible was not available to the common man. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And it was kept in monasteries. The only people who could read the Bible were priests. And to be a priest back in those days, you first of all have to go to school. You have to go to university. Then you will learn Hebrew. You will learn Aramaic. You will learn Greek. You know, man, sometimes maybe Latin. It is only after you finish the course in the languages, you are now given the Word of God. You know, so the people, and that's, you know, the first 1,000 years of what we call today the Catholic Church. Because what happened was after 300 years or so, the emperor in Rome, Constantinople, became a Christian. So they now made Christianity a state religion. That's how we get the Roman Catholic Church. It came, you know, out of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire adopted Christianity as a state religion. Constantinople, I believe, he himself was born again. But over the years, the thing just degraded. A lot of people were not even born again. Anyway, so it now became an intellectual thing. You know, you go to school. So the priests, would anything they said, that's what you take it. You had no choice. They were the voice of God. And the kings were taken as being ordained from God. Excuse me. So the king can get up, you know, and say this, and say, it's God who said, it's God who made the king. That's why God saved the king. Yes. They had power over life and death. They ruled with absolute authority. And they were backed by the church. Because the common man could not get the word of God. It was in that situation, a young monk in Germany called Martin Luther was born. And his conscience, he went to school like everybody else. And he was reading the Bible in Greek and all of that. But he just didn't have peace. He would do all the penances. In those days, they would tell you that, oh, if you want to go to heaven, you have to come and pay money to the church. Then your sins will be forgiven. If your mommy dies or your daddy dies, they're going to put them in purgatory. Then they'll be there for many years. Now, if you come to the church and you give them a lot of money and you ask the priest to pray for you, then after some years, they will pray enough to be able to overcome all their sins before they now translate to heaven. People believe that, and sadly still to today. But I'm giving you the background. Top of the places, entering at the gates. What is God saying? So when this man got to read his Bible, you know, he was initially accepted what they said. Then he practiced it. He went to Rome. He saw all the hypocrisy. The priests were sleeping with women. The popes were corrupt. I said, this cannot be God. You know, he did everything to do to cleanse his conscience. His conscience was not clean. So one day he was reading his Bible, you know, and he just got this called revelation knowledge now. That truth, he had it in his mind. It was enlightened to him. The just shall live by faith. It's not all this. So he wrote a protest against the Catholic. That's where we get the Protestant church. It was a protest. But God had done something. He had gone ahead. About 200 years earlier, God had invented the printing press. So what happened was that some of the scholars who got to know the Word of God and, you know, began to now print the Bible. So the Reformation was characterized, you know, and now went on for about 400 years. The main avenue in which the Word of God was disseminated was the written or the printed Word. Then came the 20th century, you know, with the invention of radio. So the Azusa Street Revival, which was 1906, then the return of Pentecost, which was 1901, you know, the main avenue, the first 50 years, you know, between 1900 and about 1950, Kenneth Hager, E.W. Kenneth, all these men, the main avenue of what they had the printed word, then they added radio on top, the top of the high places, at the coming of the gates, at the entry of the city. So the word of God, more people could hear, apart from reading your Bible, you know, you could hear on radio. Then 1950 and onwards until about the year 2000, you know, a new invention came on screen, which was television. So people like Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin and many others, you know, all these, William Branham, all these TED meetings, they were televised. So people could actually see it on the word, you know, on television and see it live. So the word of God, that's why the Bible says the top of the high places, you know, the entering at the gates. So he said, I wisdom, I'm crying. Then came the 21st century. And then God shifted gear to the internet. Let's give Lord a super clap offering. I first heard it was Kenneth, Kelly Verner. I think he said it here. One of the messages, you know, said, you know, that the main thing now is the internet. But observe, none of the other things are discarded. We just add to it. So we still have the printed word. But now the printed word is now electronic. You can now get our messages, you know, by text. You have no excuse. Let's get back to Proverbs 8. She stands at the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. What paths? The paths men walk in. Everybody reads. Everybody watches television. Those are the paths. Amen. She crying at the gates. The entry of the city. The coming in at the doors. In other words, there is no way you will go where wisdom is not talking. Nowhere. Now, you can choose not to listen, but it will stand against you on the day of judgment. Unto you, O men, I call. So he's calling us. And notice he didn't restrict it to Christians. He said, O men, the sons of men, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be understanding heart. I am so reminded of what Jesus called the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And these are Jesus' disciples, but guys in the inner circle, you know, on Easter Sunday, Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus and she went and told them and they didn't believe. So in the evening, these two guys were walking to Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and Bethany or somewhere. Emmaus. You know, and Jesus appears to them. They don't know it's Jesus. You know, and say, what is this, all this thing you're talking? Why are you looking so sad? He said, are you the only one who is not in Jerusalem? You have all the things that have been happening. Anyway, to call a long story short, Jesus begins to tell them what has happened. You know, he didn't tell them it was Jesus, you know, and explain to them from the scriptures. He said, begin at Moses. Then he did as he was going to move forward because it was already evening. So he said, I'll stay in our house now. You know, spend the night. We'll give you dinner. You know, so they all sat down to eat. It was when they were breaking bread and they were prayed over the food that their eyes opened. And they saw it was just immediately disappeared. They didn't eat anymore. They got up. They didn't eat again. They got up and the same hour they went back to Jerusalem. You know, to go and tell the men that, it's true. He had appeared to us, you know. And you know what Jesus said? He said, oh, ye fools, slow of understanding. Can't you understand that Christ had to die? And that's who he's talking to. He's talking to you and I, who are not yet wise. He's talking to his disciples. He's not just talking to, you know, just the general foolish man who doesn't know anything about God. He's talking to him too, but he's talking even to us. He said, oh, ye fools. That's why you need to read the book of Proverbs in particular and the whole Bible in general. You need wisdom. You need, let me qualify that. You need spiritual understanding and divine wisdom. Apart from natural human wisdom. Your natural human wisdom needs to be enlightened with divine wisdom. And your understanding has to be not just understanding of physical things, but the understanding of spiritual things. You know, and to be ignorant of those things is to make yourself extremely vulnerable, you know, to the manipulations and the control of wicked spirits. Because you wouldn't know what's going on in your life. You wouldn't know why things are happening. You will live your life with all kinds of superstition. And, you know, you don't know this, you don't know that. You know, when anything happens, they'll say, a witch did it. And probably true. But, you know, you don't even know how the witch operates. Then the witch can just run rings around you. You know, I'm reminded of something I shared recently when I was teaching on the restoration. You know, we're going to be having a restoration of the purity and the power of the gifts of the Spirit. And you know what the scripture says? It says, I would not have you ignorant. Do you know many Christians are ignorant? Like I said earlier on, majority are. Two-thirds. The two out. They know very little about spiritual things. And you know what? They don't want to know. They don't care to know. You know why? They're not interested in all of that. They're not interested. You know what they're interested in? The bread and the fish. They're interested in the blessing. The same history is repeating itself. You know what I told Moses? When God brought the children of Israel out, he said, I want you to be a kingdom of priests unto me. That's the original plan. All of you. God comes down in his glory, you know, on Mount Sinai, you know, with the fire and the glory and all of that, you know, and shows himself and tells them, you know, what he wants them to do. You know, they were so, and you know, men haven't changed. You know what they said? They said, Moses, you go and hear him. What an insult. They rejected God's invitation. They said, no, Moses, you go and meet him. So anything he tells you, you come and tell us, then we will do it. But I don't want to get too close to him. Majority are still like that today. Oh, it's all zigzag, let Pastor Olu be. My wife will be making for a bit. Honey, I'm so zigzag. And both of us start laughing. Yeah, you know, places. You know? They're not interested. You know? Jesus said the same thing. He said, you don't come to me because of the... You saw the miracles. You're not interested in the spiritual understanding of the miracles. And the spiritual knowledge and wisdom of how you can do the miracles. All you're interested is in the... Because you gave God bread and fish. That's why these first 6-7 verses are very, he's calling us to wisdom, to seek wisdom, understanding the deeper things of God. Reminds me of the scripture, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, God is, you know, all things, even, he says, who has known what is in a man? Except the Spirit is man. He says, even so, no man knows things of God except the Holy Spirit, you know, who reveals unto us, everybody's screaming, the deep things of God. I would say, deep things of God. I didn't hear you. I want everybody in the church to say, deep things of God. Now turn to your neighbor and say, that means they're shallow things. Most Christians don't want the deep things. They want the shallow one. So long as, you know what they want? Sometimes I go to heaven. Once I know Jesus is true and all of that, yeah. Let me just go to heaven and then let me be blessed. God blessed. God has all room. You know, they don't. Let Brother Olu be there, man. And, let them be doing all of that. Let them get it, you know. And that's the mentality you find till today. Most churches, and most people in a lot of churches, I don't encourage it here, but I know there are people like that here too. You know, they're not interested in going deep. Mm-mm. They just let them come, then they can come and pray for us so we can be blessed. Let them do all that. Let them do the fasted life, the prayer, all of that. The fasted life, Kukuzinu Bible. And it's truly not there. You can't find any verse that says live a fasted life. But it was Jesus who took it in Hagen. You can find it's there. It's just that it's hidden. You know? Why have I spent quite a bit of time talking about this morning? To change your mentality. Become hungry for spiritual things. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Don't be in this Christianity only for the temporal blessings you can get from it. Yes, there are temporal blessings. There is healing, there is deliverance, there's prosperity, there's getting a nice life partner. Those are most people. You do a marriage seminar, people will be fool. Do a prayer seminar, you won't see a bird. So that's why verses 1 to 6 were written. I call unto you, O sons of men, you know, hearken unto me. Don't, you know, don't be foolish, don't be simple. You know, get wisdom and get revelation. Incidentally, as God would have it, I didn't plan it. You know, the daily rhema for today, Pastor Wale, says a heart for wisdom. Even though I, yet not I, but the grace of God with me, wrote it many years ago, 2014. It's exactly 10 years. Can you believe? You know, where are the years gone? To me, it's as if I said it yesterday. I looked at this, I said, 2014. He says, wherefore, it comes from this book of Proverbs, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? See, he has no heart for it. You know, many people are like that. They don't have a heart for wisdom. They're not, you know. So the whole purpose of this is not to condemn, is to change, is to correct you. Don't have a heart for wisdom. Desire the deep things of God. Pursue the deep things of God. You know, and it delights God. It pleases him when he sees his children who want to know more about him, who want to get closer to him. That's why he was very impressed with Solomon at first. When Solomon asked for wisdom, it's the kind of thing God likes. And God blessed him beyond measure. And then Solomon sadly messed it up, but don't let's go there this morning. You know, so that's it. Now, these are the consequences, or rather, what wisdom will give you. The blessings of wisdom we now see in verses 7 through 21. That's why I went back. It says, if you will listen to wisdom, if you will hearken unto me, all the words of my mouth. No, excuse me. Verse 7. For my mouth. I didn't hear you, choir. I didn't hear you over there. I didn't hear you over there. I didn't hear you here. I didn't hear you up there. I didn't hear you. The church is not just these five people in front. We got a problem, you know. Houston, we got a problem. The church is not, you know. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. If you listen to the wisdom of God, you will get truth. You will abhor wickedness. All, not some, all the words of my mouth are in what? Righteous. You want to know what is the right thing to do? Go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And you know, I need to comment on this because there's a lot of debate going on right now in intellectual circles. I was listening to something yesterday about three top scientists. One is from Oxford, John Lennox. I've mentioned him before. And two other guys. They're all Christians. So they were being interviewed by another Christian person. All of them are top scientists. They are being criticized and derided by their contemporaries. One guy wrote something about the cell. He's a microbiologist, you know, and how the God, the cell. I'm talking about the cell of one tiny cell in your body, you know, when you get down to DNA, you know. But even apart from the DNA, you understand, the workings of the cell is like a factory. Oh my God, there's like a highway that carries all kinds of things. So this man is a top scientist. He wrote and said, look, this shows us intelligent design. We cannot deny it. You cannot deny it. And points us to an intelligent creator. He said, when Darwin was alive, these guys, they completely teared to pieces the theory of evolution. He said, when Darwin was alive, he did not know the complexities of the cell. Now we know there is no way it could have just evolved by mere chance. The probability is zero. They blacklisted him. Somewhere, I think he's in one of these top universities in the US. You know, they said, oh, his opinions are his personal opinions. Yes, his own colleagues. There is his personal opinion, that, you know, they as a faculty do not endorse his opinion. He wrote a book, and, you know, and the second guy, too, he too is into, you know, microbiology and all of that. You know, even though I did physics, I have a great respect, especially in the last few years when I did just my own short personal study on the DNA. I mean, I'd known about it in school, you know, genetics and all that, but I never went deep. So there, I just went on the internet. I just took a few refresher courses. I can never forget that. I just kept saying, glory be to God. As I was reading the thing, I said, glory be to God. You cannot see it and not fear God. And you know that it is not man that put it there. Man only discovered what God put there. Another clap offering for the Lord. Ah! Hey! And so these men were talking about the fact that, you know, you cannot... One of them said this, John Lennox, he said it. I love this. He's a mathematician, you know, top mathematician in Oxford. And he's very respected, and they call him to talk to Christian. He was just 80 recently, 80 years old, you know, 80 years of... You know, talking about God and all that. He's always been a Christian. He's never compromised and all of that. You know, his colleagues respect him intellectually, but they don't, they think he's just crazy and all of that. You know, he talked about Hawking, how he went off and all of that. He's not afraid of anybody. He gives it to them, you know. And he makes a distinction between, you know, the explanation of phenomena and the reason for phenomena. It's deep. I'll make it very simple. If I put a cup of, if I put water in a kettle and I boil it, there's a ask the question, why is it boiling? You can go to the phenomena, because the kinetic energy of the molecules are moving faster and faster, and they hit each other, then they reach a particular energy, then they begin to go out, and that's why it boils. But the other, second reason why the kettle is boiling is because I want to have a cup of tea. Oh, brilliant. Why is it boiling? Yes, it's boiling because of, but I'm not interested in all that. I want to use it to, I want to drink tea. That's the
So there is a reason the Creator did things. All you are doing, you're looking at phenomena. But what's the reason why he did it? Therefore, you have to move on from the explanation of the phenomena to the explanation of the reason. Then you come to the person. Tremendous. Awesome. He too read it from somebody. He was quoting one guy who wrote it. I just shook my head. Then they began to debate and talk and all of that. So as they were talking, you know, I'm talking about the word of God and the wisdom of God. You know, the Lord began to speak to me and said, look, they need to, that's why you need revelation knowledge. And you need to know your Bible very well. There's nothing they were saying that could not be summarized in one or two verses. I'm going to go 1 hour trying to talk. The answer is very simple. The answer is very simple. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. This is why you know it is God who wrote the Bible. It proves itself. You don't need to go to get anything to prove the Bible. The Bible proves itself. For the invisible things of him are clearly, everybody scream clearly. That's why you have no excuse. Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. When you see information, it is readable information, intelligent information, it is obvious that an intelligent mind put it there. DNA is just a series of CTG and A of these bases of chemical bases, and it's just a computer program. CCC, TTT, GG, GAAA, CTT. Then the string goes 3 billion pairs. Oh, Sakana. I didn't say 1 million, billion in one cell, and then that would be the unique one for Coyote. You change some of those to his own country, and he will be killed by his own people. It was his own children who killed him. I'll give the Lord a clap offering somebody. Don't go there. Don't go there. And say there is no God. And lift your mouth against the heavens. He will show up. And he's still alive today. He's still the same today. And these politicians in Nigeria are about to find out. And the same ones in Russia too. And in America. And in Europe. The hour is coming, and now is, where they will say, yes, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, and the God of the Christian is the true God. And I don't need to do comparative religion to find out. The invisible things of him, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we have no excuse to say there is some other God. You can sit down if you can. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Amen. Yes. For my mouth will speak truth. I didn't hear you. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in what? And there is nothing wayward or perverse in them. You won't find it in the Bible. That's how you know it's God's book. Anybody with an honest heart who does an honest reading of the scriptures will come to this conclusion. There is nothing forward. Verse 9. I'm going to close with verse 10 because I won't go into the wisdom and the gold and silver tonight, this week. We'll do that next week. It says, they are all plain. Not to everybody, to him that understandeth. The Hebrew is to him that has a heart. See, you have two sets of men on the earth. Those with honest hearts and those with dishonest hearts. Just two broad categories. And this cuts across nations, race, and gender. I've come to see that, you know, by my study of the scriptures and also observing of human history and the way that, you see, they are plain to him that anybody who has an honest is plain. It's plain. I just got a text, Pastor Andrew. He said, how come? Because we're just in our Bible. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. Right now, we're in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is building the city. But you see what God reminded me of now? He said, how come Cyrus and Axerxes and the other Syrian kings, Persian kings, how come they didn't say what Zechariah said? Honesty! Honesty! They too served idols. They too served other gods. How come? With comparative religion study, did Cyrus do? Or Artaxerxes, or I don't know how to pronounce that very well, you know, or Darius. What? Where did they? Honest hearts. It says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, and he made a decree that who are the amongst the Jews in my empire that you want to go back to Jerusalem to build a house? For God has told me. Which comparative religion did he do? Is he not a heathen like Sennacherib? You know what he said? They sent to them, they started building the temple. Then for some years, the work stopped. They were criticizing them. They said, oh, these people are trying to do rebellion. They said, they should go and check the records of the kings. This was maybe about 100 years later. They went to go and check the record. They found out that, it is actually written. You know, then the new king, I think it was Darius or Artaxerxes, one of them. He said, let this work of God, he said, let it continue speedily. He said, they should not do anything to hinder. He said, they should bring money from the treasure of the king to make sure that they finish that. He said, for why should there be wrath? The same heathen kings in the same time of human history. What's the difference? He would say, okay, maybe God spoke to Cyrus specially. This one, Cyrus was already dead. This 200 years later or so. You know, this king said, he said, for why should there be wrath against the king and his sons? He said, let them, anything they need, salt and bullocks. He said, let them offer sacrifice to make the prayer for the life of the king and his sons. They all people in the same age, same technology, same. What was the difference? Heart. They are plain to him that understandeth. Stand to your feet. Plain to anybody with a heart. Whether you're in the time of Abraham like Abimelech, or you're in the time of Elijah like Naaman. These are all heathen. Heathen. How can you look at the heavens and say there is no God? How did Naaman know? He just heard something. Say, oh, that my Lord would be with the prophet in Samaria and he will heal him of his leprosy. You know, think, put yourself in Naaman's position. A top military officer. This girl is a slave from Judah. You know what the average person say? Slap that girl. Emilong pin leper. It was a leper. I can't undermine that. Just talk. What made Naaman take that word seriously? And then take it to the king. And then go all the way to Israel's heart. Heart. Another person in that same boat will hear the thing and just ignore it. Or even ask them to go and throw the girl in jail or kill her for insulting him and calling him a leper. And I love Naaman. Because he's in heaven. After he got healed of his leprosy, he said, "Now I know. Now I know that there is no other God than the God of Israel." He said, "But I'm going back home." Goes to Elijah. "I'm going back home. And I have to serve my head of state, you know, my king." He said, when he enters the house of his idol, he didn't do comparative religion. They are plain unto him that understands. He says, when he enters the house of the idol, you know, and he bows, he says, "I have to bow to just out of respect, but I now know that he's not a god, he's just a stupid idol." This will be paraphrase. He says, "So I want permission that, you know, I'll just take some." He said, but I'm going to be worshiping the God of Israel. He said, "But I have to follow him to the place." And Elijah said, "You're free." The same Naaman, same Old Testament. Why didn't Sennacherib get that? Heart. In the earth today, there are many Abimelechs, Naamans, Cyruses, Dariuses, and simultaneously there are many Sennacheribs. Nabals and all kinds of horrible characters. When you meet men, forget the religious tag, forget the race, forget the tribe, check their heart. It will give you the wisdom of how to relate to them. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your presence.
In your presence.
We are content.
We are content. In your presence.
We are content.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
In your presence there is life.
Expressions
of your love.
Revelations
of your power and might.
In your presence.
In your presence we now bring.
We now bring.
We're in the presence of our King.
In your presence, oh, sing it, hallelujah.
In your presence, Lord.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
In your presence.
In your presence,
we are content.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
In your presence there is life.
There is life.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and might.
In your presence, Lord.
In your presence we now bring.
We bring, we now bring.
A love.
God wants you to live in His presence so you can have a constant flow of wisdom and revelation. It would make you discern men. It will make you know how to handle human beings. You will immediately, you will spot the Sennacheribs, and you will stay away from them. You will ally yourselves to the Dariuses and the Cyruses and the Naamans and the Abimelechs. Even people, there are a lot of people now that are not born again yet, but they're good men. They have a good heart. The better word is honest heart. And you as a Christian, that is your greatest treasure. Don't lose it. You can. The honesty of your heart, the humility, that heart attitude. Like when the Bible study, the weekly Rhema today, is dynamic. You can have a right attitude in the morning and wrong attitude in the afternoon. It's day by day, hour by hour. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Oh Lord, have mercy on me to keep my heart attitude with all diligence on a daily basis, to maintain and increase the honesty and the humility of my heart, so I will have a heart for wisdom. Because wisdom is crying out from the high places. It's all around me. In the gates of the city. In the paths. Lord, I know I have no excuse. Give me a heart for wisdom. In Jesus' name. Nika tola mashaka tufrede. Father, celebrikito freka glomatulo, lambrekatolo matufredes. Lord Jesus, aprekatolo manga, leprenos tufridi. Lord Holy Spirit, nekatolo fre, lombragatushko fre, lombredeska. Thank you for your blood, lapretushko fridi glomatulo, lambrekatufresko fre, lambra, leprekatolo matufres, tolo matufridu freshes, tolo matolo matufres. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, just stretch your hands. If you're at home, you can stretch your hands towards your device. Father, we release the healing power. You said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. We send that healing power now. In Jesus' name, we release it into their physical bodies to effect a healing and a cure. Be thou made whole. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's give a little super
your
clap on.
Presence we now bring
a love song of praise.
Where